Welcome everyone, my name is Joel Wright, I'm the host of Devon Dice Podcast and this is episode 38, recorded on Wednesday the 6th of September 2017. Joining me on the podcast tonight is
Sam. Yay. And on tonight's show, we talk about lots of games, all the news that we find interesting, and some Kickstarters too, just to tide you over until, nearly payday. As always, thanks goes to the show sponsor, meepleskorner.co.uk.
Yay! Oh, so, we're a little bit late. Do apologise. So much happening, so much going on. You would have thought, like, having summer holidays, you have loads of time on your hands, but that just whizzed through like anything, and I don't even know what I did in half of it, so mainly shouted at the kids. But you don't have that problem, so...
No. I've just got a wife recovering from surgery. That's plenty for me to keep me occupied at the moment, so...
So, yeah. So, anything interesting happening?
Quite frankly, no.
You're building a great website for a customer, aren't you?
Yeah, a female hygiene products website. Yeah, we're starting on that anyway. But you get all sorts of challenges in my job. So
sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it is interesting. An interesting challenge, technically speaking. But anyway, no one wants to be talking about web development. I'm doing it all the bloody time at the moment. It's just my brain. I need to get away from TV, computer screens for a minute. But the one thing I'm looking forward to coming up is next week. I'm actually off to a stag do for the first time in a long time. You know, we got to that age now where you don't get things like stag do's and weddings so much. You know, all of our friends have kind of gone through that phase a bit, and I'm finally going on a stag do for the first time since my own, pretty much. Which those who went on that will know was a bit of a odd story for another day, but the awesome thing is it's a 4-day stag do, and this week I for the last couple of weeks I've actually been looking on eBay for cheap secondhand GameCubes, because I used to have a GameCube, and I thought my mate Bill, who's stag do it is, said, have you got any kind of, should we take some sort of console or something? And, because we got there for 4 days, we were there for at least two or three nights, just with, sat around in a house, Airbnb style, hiring this big house.
Right.
And I thought, I haven't got one, but I'd be quite keen to pick up a GameCube, because some of the best party gaming I've ever done with a console was with that, the Nintendo GameCube, and it was playing things like Super Monkey Ball and Worms 3D and that sort of stuff. So I thought, maybe I'll see if I can pick one up cheap. And they all go for about 40 or 50 quid on eBay. And then I found just yesterday the world of modded Nintendo Wiis. Now, have you heard that?
Nope.
People mod Nintendo Wiis so that they can basically install every other generation of console before it as on a SD card. So this modded Nintendo Wii is coming to me with just about every SNES game, every N64 game,
wow.
Neo Geo, Game Boy, the whole works. So there's going to be something like 10,000 games on this one card, including things like Super Mario Kart and Mario Kart 64 and all those kinds of things. And it also comes with the software that allows you to play backed up Nintendo Wii and backed up GameCube games. Of course, I've got all of my old GameCube games backed up. So, backed up, I mean downloading them from various nefarious websites. So I've now, for the price of a secondhand GameCube with no games, I've got a Nintendo Wii modded with all those games, plus the ability to play all the GameCube games and all the Nintendo Wii games. So I'm quite excited about that. I thought that was pretty awesome. So I was fully intending on getting a GameCube and then putting it straight on eBay afterwards, but I might just keep this if it works.
Yeah.
Should be quite fun.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, well, I'll hold my breath for a minute. It will turn up and then, it'll probably brick within 10 minutes. So, we'll see. But if it works long enough for the weekend, then I'm happy. And it'll be great to be able to play some of the old stuff from when we were kids and You know, and I challenge anybody to Super Mario Kart Grand Prix. Me and my mate James, we spent not even hours. It was months playing that game and perfecting. We had a spreadsheet with fastest lap times and everything.
Wow.
And I want a Super Mario Kart championship. I was looking up the lap records earlier on, and I'm pretty damn sure that me and James were quicker than most of them. So wow. I might make that my new project that I will think about, because I'll never have time to do any of these things, but it'll be fun.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I don't remember the Grand Prix one. I remember playing Double Dash Mario.
Oh yeah, this is the first one on the Super Nintendo.
Right.
We're ultra purists. The very first game.
Wow, you're going back to that one.
Yeah, yeah. N64 one I didn't like so much. But then I grew up playing SNES one. Double Dash was all right, and the one on the Wii was all right. I mean, they were all right, but they're almost too shiny and too.
Yeah.
Busy, I would say, whereas that first one is sketchy graphics. They're just about as good as you need to be, but mechanically they were perfect.
This Nintendo, the first Nintendo, or the SNES?
second one, SNES, yeah, the SNES one, yeah, yeah. First ever Super Mario Kart is a superb game. Yeah, battle mode in that is still the best and everything.
Yeah,
yeah, superb. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that, and things like Donkey Kong Country, loved that on the SNES as well.
Oh yeah.
So I'm going to get that.
Like being awe of all the graphics going on with that. That was amazing.
Yeah. Considering
that. And it's like, this is so hard.
Even now, it holds up as an awesome game. And I'm still to this day surprised that that was being run on a Super Nintendo.
I know.
I mean, that is insane in my mind now. I just think it looked awesome. It played awesome. It sounded awesome. I listened to the soundtrack on Spotify still. It was amazing. So, yeah. Anyway,
I remember that was out. I was in school. And we were doing this drama scene, and it was about drugs and things like that. And they were saying, oh, we need some really, like, I don't know, hallucinogenic music. So why someone's taking these drugs and acting it out kind of thing. And I remember, like, the night before playing Donkey Kong Country, and it's underwater, and it's really, like, that kind of thing. So I recorded the sound and then brought it in. I said, yeah, we can use this. And they're like, this is great. Where do you get this from? I was like, not telling you.
Yeah, so. It's such an awesome soundtrack. Such an awesome soundtrack. Yeah. That's a lot of fun. I'll report back in the next podcast as to whether that worked or whether it was a colossal waste of money.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. So apart from me, I finished off my application for the police. So now I've just got to wait. And then I have just been chilling out playing RimWorld again on Steam, and can't stop my people from dying. And I keep reloading and trying to save them, and they just keep dying. I think the game hates me. And but I can't stop playing it at the minute. I'm going to have to do something. I've got other stuff to do. That's the trouble with those sort of games. It's like one last 5 minutes. 2 hours late, I was like, sugar, I need to go to bed. So, right. But anyway, bookkeeping. If you haven't noticed, Unhinged 2 is out, where me and Lewis talk about everything that is not board game related. Main topics this time was Defenders, which we had a good old talk about. It is spoilers, so if you have not listened, we will spoil it. So do watch it first. And yeah, I don't know. Do you listen to them, Sam?
I certainly do, and let's just stop this one and do an Unhinged. It's much more fun. we've kind of done that already, to be fair, talking about computer games, so I suppose that's kind of, you know, halfway there. But
I let you have that a little bit, didn't I?
but
it is a lot of fun, and especially because we're not we're uncensored, so it's just kind of sit back and talk about anything, and Lewis just makes me laugh with the stuff he comes out with.
Yeah, no, he's a naturally witty, easy speaking. I wish I could be as off the cuff funny as he is, to be honest. That's
definitely
a very entertaining podcast for anyone who wants something that's not necessarily all game related. Definitely check out the Unhinged one, because it's fun listening to Lewis just rant about stuff.
I did post another blog about Gen Con 50 that's just happened. It's like the I've posted more about this about than anything else. And it was mainly about the surprise games that were announced at Gen Con. So there's four or five titles on there. It's like, oh wow, that's coming out. That looks amazing. So so you can check that out. But other than that, I've still got reviews to do. But as I said, summer holidays are just being a wash. Excuse me. Oh, pardon me. Shouldn't drink fizzy before show. And so yeah. So other stuff. So yeah, winner of Pocket Mars, good old Nick Shaw, won that, and he's actually a local guy in Plymouth, so I was able to drop it off to his house, and so he's a happy man. So that's good on you, Nick.
Yeah, well done, Nick.
It was funny. I was waiting for him. I put it up on the podcast, and just waited for him to chime in. I was like, he's not claiming it yet. I'm gonna have to just email him and say, oh, you won this. And then as soon as I went to do that, he emailed me and said, oh yeah, I won, can I have my copy please? So, yeah. So yeah, well done, Nick. A friend of mine and fan of the show, Ainsley, wants me to plug his games night that happens at Plimpton Library. It's Plimpton's just outside of Plymouth, if you didn't know, but anyway, so Plimpton Library on Thursdays, 8 till 6 p.m. He asked me to do that, so I've done it. There you go, Ainsley. All plugged away. Any more information, contact me and I can put you in touch with Ainsley. That's it. So let's get on with the news. Now, I was hoping Tom was going to be around for this because this is his sort of thing. But Games Workshop is just open the doors and republishing. Seems like they're republishing all their old classics. So Necromunda, Underhive has been re-released, or is being re-released. I don't really know anything about it, and I was hoping Tom was going to be here to talk about it because he knows more about it than me.
Yeah, I know the name. and I know that, I mean, it looks like it's the start, presumably, of what they called Games Workshop, kind of. Obviously, they started pulling back a lot of their game property licenses, haven't they? And they're starting to kind of do some stuff themselves. So maybe this is the kind of, again, seeing more of that happening, where they're kind of refreshing a lot of their own game licenses. So I'm not into minis, so I can't really comment. They look pretty smart, but, you know, that's as much as I know about it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's based on Warhammer 40,000. Sorry. Puts you at the head of an army. And you are controlling a gang. So it's what they call skirmish mode, I think. Skirmish battles. So you kind of got a little group of soldiers that are all probably different attributes that you just then battle it out. So, cool. God damn you, Tom. Where were you when we needed you?
Yeah.
Fantasy Flight announces Star Wars Legion, a miniatures game. So it's another miniatures game, but this one actually looks pretty cool. And this is one of the games I talked about on my little blog that was announced. It looks really cool. You're going to get this pack, and you're going to have Darth Vader with a load of stormtroopers, and you're going to have Luke Skywalker with a load of rebel soldiers, and it's just a two-player skirmish game again. It looks like it's using a flight path system like X-Wing, so you can then move the soldiers around in that fashion. It looks pro. The thing I like about this, I just want to paint it and do it. I ain't got the time to do it. That's why I would get it. But, so yeah,
the stormtroopers look pretty cool.
Yeah.
That'd
be easy to paint, just white.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I could handle that, I suspect. It's probably why they look pretty cool. You think, oh, that'd be cool. But no, I'm not, again, not really a miniatures game.
No.
That one looks a little bit more, because I am a Star Wars person, so therefore that one is a little bit more interesting to me. But it's still got that playing with toy soldiers look to it that doesn't really interest me so much.
Yeah, it's going to be another one of those money sinks, isn't it? Because they just release expansion, well, figure after figure to add to it, and it'd just be endless. So. But never mind. Another game that I talked about on my blog of announcements from Gen Con was Fireball Island.
Oh, yeah.
This is coming from Restoration Games. So these guys are actually on for a huge winner because they've got three titles coming out. Not arrived here in the UK. I am eagerly anticipating one of them, Downforce. Really want that one. But they brought out two other titles, and they've all been high praises from all the reviewers that have had them. And then they announced that redoing Fireball Island. So this is a grail game in a way, cult classic. If you're in the US, as a child, this would be a game that you played. And it's basically a roll and move game, and there could be certain moments where this this marble will roll down this mountain track and hopefully knock over your opponent's figures. Restoration Games is said they're going to change it. Instead of being roll and move, they're going to make it more of a gamer's game, and there could be chances where the ball doesn't roll exactly where you want it to roll and things like that. So looking forward to this.
I'm too. It's kind of in there with the that 80s Waddington's kind of look that I grew up with Escape from Atlantis, and with one of my personal favourites still, even now, is Lost Valley of the Dinosaurs. Right. I would love it if Restoration Games picked up Lost Valley of the Dinosaurs as well. For a start, they could make dinosaurs that don't fall over, would be a good start. I absolutely love it. I know you can go on to Restoration Games, can't you? And you can kind of vote for the games that they should be picking up next. And
yeah.
I think I've submitted it or voted for it already. But if I haven't, I'm going to go back and double check. And I'll urge everybody listening to the show to go and do it, because I love Lost Valley of Dinosaurs, and there's very few games like it. Okay, it's the roll and move, like a lot of games were at that time. But Restoration Games, I would trust completely now to kind of reinvigorate that and turn it into something really special, and I would love to see a new version of it. That would be awesome. But yeah, Fireball Island as well, it's one I've never played. I think it was just an American game, I think, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure if it was over here, but the it's very much got that vibe of that kind of almost Indiana Jonesy boys adventure style board gaming, and it's just got that huge kind of vacuum formed plastic look to it on the table. So it just kind of harkens back nicely to that, that age of games. And yeah, I'll be all over that on Kickstarter. I think that'll be the next one on Kickstarter for me when that launches.
Yeah.
That looks fab.
The guy who they've got to do the, plastic molding for the tray is the guy who done the plastic molding for Mechs versus Minions.
Oh, really? Oh, so nice.
They've really, let's get the best person in to do this tray. So
I think they've realised, haven't they, as well, Restoration, that if the game's going to sell, and it will sell first to the hobby more than it will to mass market, but they are making games that will appeal to the mass market as well, I think. But in this instance, I think they know they've got to put the polish in, even if it makes it more expensive. Put the polish into it and make it a real shining gem, and people will buy it. You do a half-assed effort like Hasbro style, and you may as well just wave goodbye. It's not going to work. But yeah, awesome. Yeah,
definitely.
Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Definitely. Yeah. Sam's put this in. Go on, Sam.
Very quick. This week's Renegade Games news, they seem to be going through a phase of doing something new every 5 minutes. And we all knew that they were going to be printing one of my personal favorite games of the last couple of years, Raiders of the North Sea, which was a Kenneth Spielder's Yaris nominee. They have announced that they are going to actually print wide distribution copies of all of the North Sea trilogy. Now, that won't really bother me too much because I had all three and I've only got one left. I've only got Raiders of the North Sea now, but Shipwrights of the North Sea, which is a card drafting game, is going to come out from them as well. And also Explorers of the North Sea, which is a kind of tile laying exploration game. That one's actually decent. I just didn't have room for it on the shelf. I just thought, well, I'm just going to, it was a useful one to trade away in a mass trade. So I did it, but it's quite cool that on the back of Raiders getting that Kennerspiel nominee, they are now getting Garfield Games are getting all three of the games printed. That's pretty cool. So that's another win for Shem Phillips from Garfield Games.
Definitely.
Yeah, I just think it's quite interesting that they're going to do it. It'd be interesting to know if it's going to be exactly the same like for like. Looking at it, it will be. I think out of all of them, Shipwrights could do with just a tiny little change or two to make it a little bit better. But it looks like it'll be a like for like. But we'll see. It might be interesting. Yeah, you never know. Second edition sort of style, it might be quite good.
Cool.
But yeah, thought that was interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. DLP Games has announced a new bag builder. You told me how to say this. I forgot.
Altiplano.
Altiplano.
Yeah.
From the Orleans designer, Rainer Stockhausen. Is that right?
That sounds good.
And the artist, Clemens Franz. Altoplano. Is that right?
Altiplano.
Altiplano, yeah. I can't handle this. Okay. So it's a complex game taking place in the plains of South America. 2 to 5 players, and you are working to collect and organize goods from which are immediately available or reused to each player. Since players start with unique resources and roles. So have you played Orleans?
I have. I've played it, amazingly, I've played it just the once. I feel like I've played it 3 times for some reason, but I have only played it the once. It's been played a couple of times at our Tuesday night group, and I've never been able to get in on that table. Yeah, I really do love it. It's as Euro-y and as heavy a game as I would want to play at any given time. But I really did like it. I think that for some reason, even though it was very Euro-y, very beige and simple, graphically simple and stuff, there was an awful lot of game there that was actually simple enough to learn and play. So, yeah, I always feel like I want to play it again. I've never been able to justify picking it up myself just because I know a couple of people that have got it, so therefore I don't bother, but I would happily get it and play it. It sounds like this Altiplano is actually going to be a heavier game than Orleans, so I'll be interested to see how that turns out. I love the fact in the description it says Altiplano is not a simple game. I'm pretty sure it would be one I'd like, though. I trust this guy because Orleans was a standout hit, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
Even now it sells really well, I think. So, yeah, I'll be interested to see what this one turns out like. And it looks really smart. I love the kind of alpaca box art.
Yeah. That's what drawed me in. Is like, oh, that's cool. I like that. And if you don't know, Clemens Franz does all the artwork for most of Uwe Rosenberg's games. So like Agricola and other stuff. So yeah. I actually, what you said is pretty much the same as my thoughts. I've played it a few more times. I do quite well playing it. It's a real solo game in a way. You're just kind of sat there playing on your own.
It's just the committing, because you can commit the tokens to the main board, can't you? Or you take tokens away from the main board. So you kind of accelerate different aspects of the game. So that's the kind of only real interaction you get, isn't it?
But it's enough, though. There's a few little bits going on, isn't there, that you're actually got, like, you're watching other people, what they're doing is like, oh, he's like moving around a map, he's going that way, I'm going to go this way kind of thing, or you're watching who's putting into the guild hall and things like that. So there's a few things where you are watching each other, but there's not much interaction. It's like, damn you, I wanted that.
It looks like this might be a bit more the same, just because it's got that whole thing of, you know, you're all playing for the same resources. And someone might nick something that you were aiming for. So it's got that same kind of aspect to it. So it might be that's the case, but it looks like you're playing in this one. It looks like you're playing a lot more interactively than in Orleans, which is, you know, you're building your own bag of stuff and you're building your own little plateau, tableau of bits and pieces. This one looks a lot more kind of everyone's in there mixing up together a bit. So should be interesting.
Definitely. 11 new board games going to be converted to apps from Asmodee Digital, including Smash Up, Zombicide, Scythe, and Terraforming Mars, and many more. So,
This Asmodee are continuing to push. I mean, obviously, Terraforming Mars is an interesting inclusion, and Scythe, because they're not involved in, and Zombicide, actually, they're not involved in publishing any of them, or no. Smash Up, quite frankly, all of those, none of them they publish themselves, but they seem to have become a de facto
I think Asmodee
developer.
Well, Asmodee Digital is completely separate, I think, in a way now. They're just...
Yeah, it's like a studio they've picked up, isn't it? And yeah. They're kind of just partnering for the digital side. But the only thing, I mean, I love the fact that they're doing it because they do make the best looking and generally best working digital conversions of board games. My big problem with it is that they don't, because it goes through the, I can't remember what they call it now, they've got their own proprietary multiplayer thing, haven't they?
Right.
Because the Ticket to Ride, for instance, on iOS, right. You used to be able to play via Game Center.
Yeah.
And now they've updated it so it's uniform and it can, I think it cross plays with Steam and all that stuff, which is great. But it means it's all real time and you now can't play like asynchronously. So you can't just take a turn and leave it. So it's kind of ruined it. I haven't played Ticket to Ride on iOS since that happened. And now the same will be happening with these because I just won't ever play them other than solo now. Which is kind of annoying. I want to be able to play games like Smash Up, or you know, I'd play Scythe and Terraforming Mars if I could play it asynchronously. But I'm never going to be able to sit down with friends and say, right, we're going to meet online on our phones and play for like 3 hours. You know, it's just not going to happen.
No,
so
definitely. No, that's the thing with it's a thing with like phone. When you're playing on your phone, you want that kind of turn based. And wait for your next turn just to...
Yeah, because we're all looking at our phones at random times, aren't we? Yeah. It's like, you know, like tea breaks at work or toilet breaks at work or, you know, just kind of while the missus is watching something crap on TV or whatever it might be, you kind of got those, you've got those 10 minute breaks where you can kind of do something. None of us are going to sit there for 2 hours. Well, generally speaking, none of us are 2 hours.
So let's get on with what we've been playing recently. If you want to start us off with a lot of Clank.
Lots of Clank, yeah. So I did finally pick up my reward essentially for helping out Meeple's Corner at the UK Games Expo. With my credit, I picked up a copy of Clank. And I've been playing it a lot since then. And I've picked up the expansion as well since then. I've got a really rubbishy cut board as well, but I can't be bothered to... I've registered for a replacement, but I'm just going to play it as it is. But anyway, I've been playing a lot of it. I love it. Absolutely love it. I'll play it every week, which I'm amazed by. I've pre-ordered Clank in Space from Meeple's Corner as well. Now I'm a complete Clankaholic. So I'm not going to labour the point because everyone knows kind of Clank. We've talked about it a lot here, but that's definitely my favourite game of the moment, and really liking it. So
it's amazing. Yeah. Like, this game's come from really nowhere. It's like, I remember it coming out the first week on the release sheet on the Stevium, and I was like, what is that game? What is Clank? So I went and watched a couple of reviews, and I was like, it is quite interesting. So I picked up the phone to Christoph and said, yeah, I'll take a copy kind of thing. Mm. And it's built up this like snowball of like fandom and... Mm. Like, people are Clank's amazing and things like that. And I know, excuse me, I shouldn't drink fizzy. I know someone who's already got a Clank in Space because he was able to go over to Gen Con.
Nice.
And he's been constantly posted on Facebook saying how many times he's playing this. And he's not one of these. He's a Euro gamer. He loves his Euro games. The heavier, the better and things like that. And he's admitted... that he says this is such a great game. It's probably tougher than normal Clank because the two halves, it's not half a board now. You need to get to the top to score. There's like a little section right at the back end of the ship that you just need to get into. And if you die there, you score. If you don't, you don't score. And he says it's so hard just to even get to that point half the time. But it's such a great game.
Yeah.
And by the sounds of it, they've implemented a lot of things that they've introduced a discarding mechanic more in this, where people say, "No, it's a rubbish game because you can't trash cards that you don't want anymore." Because that's what problem with Nick. That was the problem Nick had with it.
Yeah.
He says, "I can't trash cards," so I just end up with a big stack of cards that I don't really want anymore. And it's like, well, that's the point of it.
Yeah.
Does it have to be the same as every other deck builder?
Exactly. And to be fair, it's like I do the same thing. I kind of want to trash the rubbish, but that means I just actively make sure I can pick up those cards that do that, either device wise or, with a character like, I can't remember the corner, like the master thief one or whatever it is. You know, I deliberately go out of my way to make sure I get those so that I can do that. And, it's not necessarily a winning strategy, you know?
No.
It really isn't. And it isn't actually, apart from the cards you're drawing, it's not really luck based either, which is why I think it's really appealing. It appeals to people because it doesn't have dice and stuff. Essentially, it appeals to people that like simple mechanics because it's easy to follow. It's got the deck building aspect, which a lot of people are familiar with. It's got a cool dungeony kind of adventure-y sort of style feel to it for those that like theme. I just think it's one of those perfect games in the sense that yes, it's not a strategic powerhouse, but nor is it a lightweight filler. You know, it's bang in the wheelhouse. It's that kind of 1 hour to maybe a bit more sort of Uber game that you can easily play that plus a couple others or whatever. I just think it's great. It's one of those games that's just it's finagled its way into my untouchables list. So.
It's funny because a few Thursdays ago on our Thursday night group, there was only four of us: me, Tom, and Karen, and Nigel, and. Karen and Nigel, they're a wonderful couple. They're really lovely. And they're really, it's really odd because they are gamers, but they're old classic gamers. And they've got like a huge library of all these German Euro games. And then we're introducing them to like Cult of the New. So we're bringing all these games and they're like, these are great. These are amazing. We didn't really know they were around, kind of thing. so that one even that they like Tom said, oh, I'm going to show you how to play Dominion because that's like one of his favorite games. So he brought that along and he got it out. So okay, we'll play a game of that. So we've done that, and they're like, oh yeah, this is really good. This is really interesting. Never played a deck builder before. And then it's like we played one game of it, and Tom done the whole big money route. So he just brought money and just won it like that kind of thing.
Mm.
And then, he's like, shall we do another game of it? And I was like, I really don't want to do another game of Dominion. I just don't really like Dominion. It's just plain and boring to me. And I said, trouble is, you just done big money. I said, I'm just going to do big money next turn. He said, yeah, but I was only doing it as a strategy just to see it if it really does work.
Mm.
I said, so it works. You won. I don't really want to play this again. And they actually offered, I said, okay, well, if we can borrow this, we'll take it home, we'll play it on our own and see what it's like. And then I said, so how about we upgrade to Clank? And Tom's like, oh, Clank. Play Clank. I said,
he's a like, hipster. All
right. Yeah, I said, all right. They actually said, let's just play it. And Tom's like, okay, I don't mind. Let's just play it and get it over with. And then and at the end, I'm the only one standing. Nigel actually ran out. He ran in, ran out strategy. So he was like doing the countdown. And I'm the only one left standing. I'm just near the entrance. And he's pulling cubes out of the bag. And Tom and Karen are going, die, 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 oh, die, die. And we're in a pub and they're shouting this out, kind of, die, die. And it was brilliant. And then at the end of it, Tom actually goes, I actually really enjoyed that. And he goes, do you know why I enjoyed it? Because Lewis wasn't there grumbling and bitching about something being broken in it. And I was like, yeah, see, it's a great game.
yeah, it's great. But, yeah, so.
Move along. Yep. Too much Clank.
We talk about Clank every week. So, yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so I played a new game, City of Spies. Seen this being talked about, and Dice Tower highly rated this because they got their sticker all over it. Nick brought it along last night and we played it, and wow, does this melt your brain. It's kind of a worker placement. It's not really a worker placement. You're placing characters out on these map locations, and you're basically trying to area control these sections to get more characters into your hand. So it's kind of hand management in that certain aspect. So you start with six characters. They all got different attributes, different strengths, things like that. And on your turn, you place one out. And it might, most of the time, they're going to be face down. So you don't know what people are placing out, where they are. There is one square that they are face up. And so you go around, you put four characters out. And you're trying to get this, win the majority on that. But before that happens, you go through an act of their powers going off. So they could assassinate someone, they could seduce someone, they could get help from nationalities and things like that. And you're trying to strategically outthink what your opponents just put down, where and possibles, what they've got. And there is options to where you place, you might be able to look at... that's my office falling apart. Yeah, you've got options to look at cards, characters that have been put down, and work that out. And you're just sat there thinking and trying to think what your opponents have done. You also got to think what you can do and your best options. And it was actually really good. It was tense. It was it just melted your brain because you've got so many options. You've got your cats in your hand, where to place them. Okay, and what's he done? Why has he gone there? What's he played? Oh, should I play this instead? No. And then you're trying to collect stuff, the characters in your hand, to try and win end goal, more victory points. So you, at the end of the round, if you've collected more characters, you've got to discard down to six. And those ones you discard won't count for the end game goal. So it's like, oh, I need these, but I need to get rid of one. Which one do I keep? I don't know. It's even harder than even playing a game. So it was just great. It was actually really good. So, yeah, that was City of Spies.
Yeah, that's Nick's new fave by the look of things. So, well, he certainly won. Either he'll hold on to it or he'll have sold it by next week because he's played it now. But we'll find out. He never listens to the show, so I don't mind. But yeah, I know he was trying to push it yesterday to try and say it, to try and play. So I'm glad someone played it with him. But yeah, it always looks good. The artist, going back to news story earlier on, is same artist as Raiders of the North Sea as well. So it's one of his one of his earlier ones as well. So that's cool.
Cool.
Very similar. But yeah, looks nice. And I've heard good things too. So no doubt Nick will be bringing it along a few more weeks. So I'm sure I'll get a chance to try it again, try it myself.
Yeah.
So another little hotness one that I've managed to try. Well, another little hotness. Clank's old hotness. New one for this year is one called Number 9. I can't remember if you may have talked about it on the previous episode or not. I'm not sure. We did play it. We played it a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Number 9 is a new game from Abacus Spiele, and it is out here. I don't think it's out in America yet, or it was around Origins time, maybe. But it is essentially a polyomino game, i.e., Tetris style piece game, where you have numbers 0 to 9, and there are enough pieces in the board, in the box, for two of each number. Each number is a kind of polyomino shape. So a 0 is kind of a 4x3, what do you call it, shape with the central three cubes out of the middle, or squares out of the middle. So you've got this kind of hole in the middle. The 1 is literally just a kind of line with one cube on the end of it, that kind of shape. And the idea is you're trying to each round, you'll turn over a card and it will tell you which number every player plays that round. So let's say you turn it over and it's a 5. Everyone takes a 5 and puts it down on the table. And then the next one might be a 2, and you have to put that, attaching it to the 5 in some way. And the idea is you're trying to create a kind of area on the board, a flat area where you can then start laying other numbers on top to score. So if you manage to play a 9 on top of the 5 and the 2, then that is worth 9 points. And if you start keep building and building and you get a number stacked onto the second level, it will then be worth double that. So it'll be 2 times the number that you've managed to play on there. So if you put a 9 on the second level, it would be 18. A 9 on the third level would be 27, that kind of thing. Now you can only play numbers on the levels above where it completely covers tiles, so you couldn't play a number over a gap that might be on your board. So you couldn't play one onto a zero, for instance, because it's got a big hole in the middle, that kind of thing. It's really simple. I've probably made it sound really complicated, but it is really simple. And it's really dynamic and quick. I mean, you finish a game in, what, 10 minutes? Mm-hmm. We routinely play two or three times on the trot just because it's really quick and easy, and it's a good way to fill time between bigger games. And it looks great, really colorful. And it's got that real puzzly feel of, I know I can do better than that. I know I can do better than that. And every time, and it's always random in terms of the numbers that come out, because you just shuffle this deck of 20 cards and you just draw them one at a time, play the numbers. Everyone's shapes always look different at the end of the game. It's really good. Really, really good little game. What do you think of it, Joel?
This is a game where I hate the designers because they're so clever. It sounds simple, but when you start laying it down and you start building up the foundations, so I've got good foundations here, right? Then number 9 comes out. It's like, okay, how can I position this just on top? And I can't do it because of certain things going on. And it's like, oh, I hate these guys because they're so clever and they've made it so difficult. And yeah, it's brilliant. When you think something's going to fit, it doesn't fit. Or sometimes it does work out and it does fit, and you say, oh, that's great, I've got that's a nice little base there, but then it's great. Actually amazed how good it was, kind of thing. And it's so quick because you just whiz through it.
It's really dynamic and really simple, so it's you literally learn to play it while you're playing it. I was like, last night I was teaching I can't remember who it was, Rachel had already played it the week before. I can't remember who it was. Someone was sat there and was like, oh, we'll play this while we're waiting. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was Mark or something. I can't remember. who it was. Bill. We're playing with Bill. And you literally kind of go, right, here's how you play. You turn over a card and everyone gets that number. And then you turn over another card and you go, well, we may as well make this the game then because it's easy.
Yeah.
and you're literally learning it as you play. And within two or three numbers, you're like, oh, I know exactly what this is now. It's one of those very simple simple ideas, just a really simple idea that's really clever. Highly recommended. And it's, I think Chris at Meeple's Corner charges something like £15 for it, and for that price it's a bargain, quite honestly. You really can't go wrong. Comes in this really nice, in terms of the tray, it's like all it is a bunch of a small number of tiles and a small deck of cards, and it comes in this box that you think, oh, that's a ludicrous size box, but actually the insert in the box holds all the numbers perfectly, and you need it because as you turn the cards, you need to get the numbers out. So even the design of the box and the insert of the box is brilliant as well. Really good.
Definitely. Cool. So over the summer, we actually got rid of the kids for a day. The in-laws took them while me and the missus celebrated our anniversary. So we'd done the thing, or we went and done a few things, and we ended up on the moors and walking around that. And then by the time we'd done that, it was like 3 o'clock. And it was like, what are we going to do now? And it was like, I don't really want to go to the cinema. I don't want to do the usual stuff. And as she's like, well, we might as well go home. I said, I'm not going home, because then that's it, kind of thing. So in the end, I drove to Exeter because I was like, it's Tuesday. Maybe I can get her to come into a Meeple's Corner lot and play a game or something like that. And then we arrived there and she's like, I don't want to go and play games with other people. I was like, oh, let's go to Board then. So we ended up in Board, the cafe in Exeter, and we actually ended up playing Ticket to Ride, the UK Maps version. That's what she wanted to play, so we played that, and as usual, she smashed me. Just unbelievably, I couldn't believe it. Are you actually done? Have you played this map yet?
I've played both UK and Pennsylvania now. Yeah.
So I actually done the route from Southampton to New York and smashed
the big 30 pointer.
40.
Oh, was it 40? Sorry.
40 pointer. And she's like, when I done that, she's like, oh, you've won. There's no point playing this anymore. Oh, kind of thing. I said, well, yeah, maybe. And so we played on. And in the end, I think I tallied up my cards first and got round to 95 points. And then she started tallying up hers and she goes, I think I smashed you. And she goes, and she's putting down like all the high roots kind of thing. And she had two cards left. She picked up two tickets or one ticket at the very end of the game, and had like one turn left. And she said that ticket I picked up was worth 15 points. And I already had done, oh no, she had to get to one space kind of thing. She said that was practically done. And then she picked up for the longest, no, for something else that gave her 15 points as well. Oh, the most tickets, which gave her 30 points altogether. She didn't need those 30 points. She'd already beaten me by about another 20. So it was just unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I was so humiliated by my wife beating me again. It's just but no, it's great. I love it. It's brilliant. And she really enjoyed those maps. So yeah, UK maps, great addition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think out of the two, I prefer the UK map to the Pennsylvania one. But that's mainly because I never get on with like stock holding or share style games. I think the UK one I prefer, also because it's got the UK map, so it's kind of fun playing on a territory you recognise more. But yeah, they were nice. Just a shame they're not compatible with my 10th anniversary. So.
Do you know what really annoys about this expansion is that in the expansion you get new boards, you get new cards. Why didn't they just chuck in a train you need and sell it as a separate core box? Because all you need is trains. And
I think it's one of those things, isn't it? It's like they were able to make it that bit cheaper, weren't they? By it's like £22 instead of it being £30 for. And they've done it before with map packs, haven't they? So you can kind of, I think, was it the Africa one is a map, separate map you can buy rather than a full pack and that sort of stuff. So it's not unknown that they do it that way.
No.
But yeah, it would have made more sense if you're releasing two. Maybe if you're doing two maps, having it as a self-contained. Collection would be good.
I mean, the only thing playing at board is like there. So we had to get out the core box and the expansion. I was looking at the core box and the cards in that, and even the pieces, they're kind of that black grime on it, if you know what I mean, all over the cards. And I showed the missus like the state of the cards. She goes, oh, I'm glad I didn't play with just the core box, because she goes, I wouldn't have played it. That's disgusting. I was like, yeah, I would have sleeved all this kind of thing. Yeah. She goes, well, why don't you just buy a new copy and stick that on the shelf? So, yeah, that's the only downfall with that. If you're going to play Ticket to Ride, be prepared. Nah, it's not a great copy there now.
Mm.
It's been played quite a lot. Moving on.
Yeah. So a couple of weeks ago, I went to the credit and game night. With Meeple's Corner, and Christoph broke out a brand new copy of Unearth. And I'm going to be really ignorant now and say that I can't actually, for the life of me, remember who publishes Unearth. It's not one of the big ones. It's a relatively new one, isn't it? I think you can quickly Google it while I'm talking about it. But Unearth has become, I think, popular, at least in terms of awareness, because it kind of looks like Monument Valley, the iOS game. And it actually shares nothing in common whatsoever with that game. In Unearth, it's essentially a dice worker style game, dice placement style game. You have a set of, I think it's five dice, four or five dice, and you've got a couple of D6s, a D8 or a D4 and a D8 or 10. I can't remember which one. Maybe it's both. I can't remember now off the top of my head. But you've got this mix of dice, basically. And each turn you sort of decide which dice you're going to roll and where you're going to place it on one of the cards that are available. So there's a shared pool, depending on the number of players. Four players, I think it's four cards available. And each card has got its own score that needs to be broken. So, you know, if I rolled a D6 and it's six, I put it on a card that's got a 12 on it. That means it needs to total 12 in order to claim that card. So you're kind of trying to position your dice to a point where you are both adding enough numbers to the card to claim it, but not quite so many that someone else is going to claim it before you, kind of thing. When you claim cards, you get these kind of tokens, which you start building a little kind of shape in front of you, like a little kind of flower type motif in front of you. And once you've completed one of those, you can claim another tile, which gives you points, that kind of stuff. So essentially you're just racing to kind of claim these cards or these tiles. in order to essentially score points. So that's really about as basic as the game gets. But it's actually really fun and it looks really nice. The only problem for me in terms of picking it up, and I had it on my list of games that I was interested in this year, and I still would be. It's just a bit pricey for what it is, I think. It's got really nice dice, but they are fairly standard dice, and it's really nice artwork, but it is just a few cards essentially. So for £20, I'm a bit not quite sure yet. But it is a really nice, quick, fun, easy game to play, and I love dice placement sort of style games. So yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. It was nice.
So I was just looking at it's Brotherwise Games.
Brotherwise, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
I was just looking at this, the Monument Valley game you were talking about, and I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah, it's got that kind of Escher style kind of head twist kind of art style to it. A little bit, but it shares nothing other than a slight artistic style to it. That's all.
I think that's for getting people to buy it.
Yeah, I mean it like me basically, because it looks really pretty, and that kind of makes me go, "Ooh, I want it." So it's a really nice little dice placement-y set collection style game, which plays really nicely. So yeah, cool. If you get a chance to play it, I'd recommend it because it's nice. It's a nice one to play.
I went into Exeter's board game shop. I can't remember what it's called now.
Clifton Road Games.
Because I was just kicking my heels around yesterday while I was waiting for a game night to start. And he was talking about this. He says, yeah, I don't know why I ordered this and that. And I ordered a whole box full. And he says, I've been playing it. And he says, it's brilliant. I absolutely love it. And he's not funny enough, he's not really a board game player. He's a miniatures guy.
Yeah.
He just occasionally like picks a game and says, yeah, we'll play this kind of thing. And he says, it's brilliant. It's great. Don't know why I like it. I just love it. And I said, yeah, trouble is you've got a whole load of games now you've got to try and sell that are still on the shelf. He goes, oh, no, that's my second order. He says, I sold the first order straight away. I was like, oh, that's pretty good then.
Yeah, it's worth a look. I mean, like I said, like cost wise, I think it's close to £30, which is a bit much for me as an impulse purchase, anyway. I'd certainly be interested in picking it up at a later date sometime. Cool. It's nice. It looks really nice and would fit nicely in my artistic shelves.
And my last one I'm going to talk about is Werewords. Now, Werewords is from the same people that do One Night Ultimate Werewolf, and it looks similar to it. It's got some same kind of thing going on. It needs an app to play it in a way. Yeah, I think it does. I don't know. Yeah, I think it does need the app. And I was like, Mike brought this along Thursday night, and I was just like, I don't like One Night Ultimate Werewolf, really. I play it, but it's kind of awkward, and I don't really like it. But anyway, so we said, okay, we'll give it a go. And it's basically 20 questions with One Night Ultimate Werewolf. So certain roles get dished out. You've got the usual thing. You've got the werewolf. You've got the seer. And you've got the mayor, possibly. And then you've got villagers. Whoever gets the mayor is the person that's going to pick the word. But they also get swapped with a role that was left over. So they might actually be the werewolf, or they might actually be the seer, or they just might be a villager. So that gets a bit complicated. So everyone shuts their eyes. You start the app. The app asks you who you are. The app then gives you a random selection of words, and you can pick one of them. It then reminds you that you picked this word for some reason. Yeah, I know. I just picked that 2 seconds ago. But anyway, so it reminds you that. Then you shut your eyes. Werewolf will look at the word. The seal then get to look at the word. Then everyone opens their eyes. And then the mayor can't talk. He's got a load of tokens in front of him saying that are double-sided, saying no and yes. And then he's got a very close token. Then he's got a correct token. So basically, you ask him yes, no answer, yes, no questions. And he will give you a token saying yes or no, kind of thing. So you're kind of just whittling it down. It could be anything. It could be a building. It could be a character. It could be an object. It could be an action. It could be anything kind of thing. It's just randomly selected. The trouble is, there's a lot of American words in it. And some of them we're just looking at going, don't even know what those are. So, and we were actually just played on easy words that gets to ridiculous words. And we looked at those and we were just like, don't know any of those. Don't know what they are. So we stuck to easy, medium words on it. And yeah, it was loads of fun. We played, it must have been about 10 games, maybe more of it. Because we were just like, oh, we've got time for another one. We've got time for another one. Let's just play another one kind of thing. And it was just great. And what makes it difficult is if you're the seer, because you've got no help. You're just on your own trying to, everyone's trying to guess what it is. And they could be going right off in the wrong direction kind of thing. Or you could actually be the werewolf, which then you don't want them to guess what the word is. So you could actually lie. And if they're getting it right, you could just lie and say, no, that's wrong, that's wrong. But you've got to be careful, because if the seer will know the word, and if they know what the word is and they know you're lying, they say, well, you're the werewolf. Because then that gets down to the ultimate ending, is trying to find out who the werewolf is or who the seer is. So that just adds a little bit extra to the game. So, yeah, I really liked it. I was surprised. So, yeah.
Big controversy about werewords as well, isn't there?
Oh, because it's a copy of
Insider.
Yeah.
But the not so much that obviously it's not a complete copy of Insider, but yeah, I don't know one way or the other. I did follow it quite a bit earlier on this week just to sort of figure out what was going on. But I saw Insider, Oink Games' release saying how they're disappointed because what's his name? Ted Bezier. Is it Ted Bezier? Yeah. He reached out. Ted Allspark, that's it, yeah. Bezier Games. Ted Allspark. He reached out to Oink to ask about licensing it for English American market. Yeah. And they said, no thanks, because he had ideas saying, we'd put an app in and we'd do it, change some of the roles and that kind of stuff to make it make werewords out of it, essentially. And they said no, and so he did it anyway. But I think there's obviously kind of contention about it, because A, you can't copyright mechanics, so therefore there was no real protection. Second, it's already based on 20 questions, which is an ancient, public domain game anyway. The only real contention is the fact that they said no, and but ultimately it sounds like this game was under development roughly the same time as Insider was kind of under development, and he was just being nice and saying, I'll give you a kickback if we kind of partner up on this or something, and they said no. So there's obviously this little kind of thing of they said no, and he just went, yeah, screw it, I'll release it anyway, like 10 minutes later, rather than sort of waiting a bit or whatever. But yeah, it was quite interesting reading all the comments about it.
I did see that. I mean, I saw where Insider come out, and everyone's actually saying, oh, this is really great. It's just 20 questions, and they're like, even the Dice Tower admitted, said you could actually just make this yourself. And not pay the money for Insider, because it's just 20 questions. You write a word down, the Insider gets to look at it, and then you go ahead and ask 20 questions.
Yeah, so it is the presentation, isn't it? That's the thing. You're paying for the presentation.
I mean, I like werewords because you've only got a certain number, about 40 chips, yes, no chips. So you could actually run out of questions, run out of these chips. And once that happens, then the werewolf wins or something like that. So there is that kind of dilemma with it. And you also time, so the app times you, how long it is. So it won't go on forever. I mean, the rounds are so quick, it's great. So yeah, I don't mind. I mean, werewords is great. And because it's app controlled, it just adds a little bit more fun to it. So, yeah.
Cool. Let's move on.
Let's move on to Kickstarters quickly. So, first one up, Alexandra. This is a game from Ludicorations. I actually had a preview of this when I was at UK Games Expo with a guy there. And I was hoping to have the preview sent to me so we could preview it ourselves, but that didn't happen. But anyway, what I saw of it, what it explained to me, what it showed to me, this looked great, looks like good fun. It's a tile laying game where you're kind of, you're building the library up, and then you're also trying to save certain relics and objects and scrolls from the library as it's burning down. The thing with this Kickstarter is if you want this game, you need to back it really on Kickstarter, because like the last big box game, which was Crisis, it didn't come out in retail because they don't have the capital or the backing of another publisher to put that quantity out. So yeah, if you want this game, go and check it out. $29 for the basic version, plus shipping, or $44 for the deluxe version, where you get loads of wooden meeple bits to add to the game. There's no stretch goals or anything like that. What you get, what you see is what you get. Like I said, if you really want this game or were interested in it, you need to back it this way. No.
Yeah. I'm on a bit of a dry spell with Kickstarters at the moment. This one looks pretty smart. I like some of the deluxe component bits and pieces. I'm gonna have to have a bit more of a read about it, but yeah, I'm not going to be backing it. I'm not as bad as Lewis, closing my account or anything crazy. I am kind of cutting back on the marginal, oh, that looks kind of cool type games. You know, I went through a big phase of just going, oh, that looks cool, and backing it. Rich and Joe, I know you're listening. They're kind of in that phase at the moment, going, oh, this looks good. Oh, this looks good. And I kind of envy that, but at the same time, I've been such a poor judge of games on Kickstarter that I'm gonna just play it cool this year. So yeah. Or save my money for Fireball Island, because that's going to cost a bomb.
Yeah, that's my trouble as well. I've backed a few, but I've got so many now I'm waiting for. It's just like, oh, I've got all this coming in. When's it coming in? All coming in about November time as well.
Actually nearly caught up with mine, but for the first time ever. But yeah, anyway, moving on. Next one. What's the next one?
Fireball Island's going to mess it up for you now.
Yeah, it will.
Warehouse 13, the board game. Have you ever watched the series?
No.
No, neither have I. I get the premise of it. It seems, I've seen a couple of episodes as I've joined in, but it's one of these where these ancient relics that seem to have magical powers now have to be stored in this government held warehouse called 13.
The easiest way to think of it is like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, where the Lost Ark gets put in a box and stashed in a warehouse.
Yeah.
It's like, that's where it goes, isn't it? It kind of goes to that place.
Yeah. And it's got that kind of comedy tropes, like they find something in there and it's like, it'd be like a lighter. And it'd be like, well, what's this doing? They'd be flicking it and nothing's happening. But like the Statue of Liberty, the flame will be going in and out kind of thing for some reason. It's just that weird things going on like that. But yeah, so this is the board game for the show. It's got lots of photo clips for the cards and things like that. It's basically Battlestar Galactica with this on it. So apparently in the show, there's a evil guy that's trying to get hold of these relics, and these people are trying to stop him from getting these relics. But he also gets control of one of them, so you're not quite sure who's the traitor. And it's basically the same as this. One of your people will be a traitor trying to work against you, while you lot are working together to collect these things. From what I watched, it looks pretty sturdy. The rules seem to be there. They've done a good job on most of the artwork. They seem to have it down. So if you're a fan of the show, this might be something to look at and put your money into. So $50 to back. And it's expected May next year. So that's a little long time, but yeah, maybe just giving a nice buffer zone on it. So you have about 21 days to back this by the time this comes out. So
Yeah. Who have they got any pedigree, this company?
I don't think so.
First created, so
yeah.
I don't know how much kudos they've got for board game development. It'd be the interesting thing, won't it? Let's have a quick look. Never heard of them myself, so I'm not entirely sure how good they are. Let's have a quick look. This is a good radio, dead air. Okay, so what's the name of the company? Conquest Game, Infinite Dreams. There we go. Who are you? What have you done? Nothing. This is their first game. So it's interesting that they've got a licensed game as their first game. So We'll see.
Show's dead. I think the show's ended anyway, so
yeah,
license won't be that pricey.
No, maybe not. No.
But yeah. Maybe not. Well, they needed 80,000 to get this funded.
Mm.
So that's probably most of that's the license. And they're just creeping halfway there. So it's probably not going to fund, actually. But shame.
Yeah. We'll
maybe
see.
Some lessons need to be learnt on it.
Yeah. Marginal license. Nothing. Not all licensed games turn to gold, kind of thing.
No. So, since you're doing your D&D adventure role-playing games with your buddies, I found a book that you might want to add to your collection and add it to your adventures. That's the Erotic Adventures.
Yes. I kind of ruined this surprise by looking at it beforehand, doing some research before we started this podcast. And so I kind of ruined the kind of initial spell. But yeah, it's odd. I'd urge you to only look at it when you haven't got the boss looking at your screen at work at the same time. But
it's not
it
much
seems
to
like
look at.
No, but it's the initial bit is kind of there. I mean, when you do the next Unhinged, let Lewis read out the description is all I'll say, because you can cast a spell to enlarge your beep or gain an additional beep or so yeah. The weird thing is I've got a feeling this is gonna fund, because it only needs $1,000 and it's already more halfway. It's over halfway there.
Yeah.
And I think people are buying it just because it's dirty.
That's filth.
Yeah.
You get
the initial
filth.
The first pledge level is called Copper Feel.
I did see that.
And then the other ones are various various entries in the Kama Sutra. So
oh yeah, I see now. I didn't even look at that.
Yeah.
I was just looking at how short the description text is, and that's it.
Yeah.
So it's almost a Kickstarter fail, but it won't fail because
Yeah.
People will purchase this just because of the filth.
Yeah. And just so you know, it'll be $50 delivered to the UK in case you did care.
What?
But it does say estimated delivery is December 2018. So, yeah.
It's definitely a Kickstarter fail. Anyway, last one.
That's it.
I swear this is the last one, then we're going to go home. Well, I'm going to go home anyway. So, Wanderer, the Cult of Barnacle Bay. This is a kind of miniature game, cooperative game, using wonderful miniatures. What they're coming out with looks great. Some what's it, unique characters they're using. It's really caught my eye. Trouble is, I believe they've ripped off several board games to put this game together. That's my problem with it.
I've got another problem, but I'll wait until you've finished.
Okay. So this is basically Wander, Cult of Barnacle Bay is a family co-op game, dungeon crawl miniature board game for 1 to 5 players. Players will work together, playing their heroes as from the Wanderers Guild, who have come to Barnacle Bay to save the town from Elder Bane and his Cult of the Deep. Work together in this choose-your-own-adventure campaign and gain incredible loot, unlock new abilities, and save the town. That sounds great. Sounds wonderful. As I said, the miniatures look great in it. Trouble is, from what I just saw of the intro video, they've ripped off Mice and Mystics. They've ripped off Zombicide, and they've done another one that I can't think of now. There was a third one, I'm pretty sure, they ripped off. So they've put like three games all together in one and crammed it all in there and put this wonderful art and theme to it. So
that's kind of my opinion of all games that describe themselves as cooperative dungeon crawl miniatures board games, though, because that's basically what they all are, isn't it? Mm. Essentially. And that's why that's my main problem with it. Is like, again, it's a miniatures game. It's not for me at all. I mean, it does look, I love the art and everything. The characters do look cool. I love the idea of a bear shark. He's pretty cool. But ultimately, it's just not a game I'll ever, ever play, just because it is just that it looks like exactly the same as I've seen 1,000 times on Kickstarter before.
Yeah.
And the reason it will fund and work is because it's got really nice miniatures, and that's the reason. It's not because this will be one that people will back, they'll get it, and then within 10 seconds of getting it, it will be on those Facebook sale groups and on eBay for more money than it was sold on the Kickstarter and stuff, like always, just because people will like the miniatures. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
If you like miniatures and you want some really cool miniatures to go into your collections, then this is a nice one. You know, it's nice. But yeah, not for me. Not
this
for me.
It's a shame they couldn't have thought of something else to, I don't know, bring it into their own and not rip off other games. But as I said, you can't copyright mechanics. And that's basically what I'm going on. The incentive track is from Mice and Mystics. The flip the board tile is from Mice and Mystics. And then Zombicide, they use the same thing as there's cards that bring in more of the minions to you have to fight. So, yeah, it's just a shame they've gone that route and couldn't just come up with their own kind of...
It looks like they had some really cool artwork and basically have ladled a game on top of it by just kind of doing, like I said, sort of taking inspiration from, let's call it inspiration, from elsewhere, just to kind of match the artwork, because the artwork is cool. And that's obviously, I'd say what's happened is that they almost had like a guy that was drawing really cool comic book kind of characters, and then a 3D modeler who went, oh, that'd be awesome. And then they thought, right.
It makes you wonder if this Wanderer is a series of books already.
It would say in the thing, I think it says in the thing, does it? I think it looks like it's a new thing, isn't it? I think the Wanderer's Guild thing is a whole thing they've just created, I think. I don't think it's an ongoing thing. I think it would have said based on the popular whatever. It doesn't seem to be. So I'm assuming not.
No, I can't say anything. So
yeah, I think it's new. But it looks kind of cool. Shame. So.
But if you fancy it, you like your miniatures, it's $90 to back it.
Plus delivery eventually.
Delivery, yeah.
Whatever that will be.
It is just it's just gone through its funding goal as we speak. And you should expect it September 2018. Probably put a few more months on that, being its first one from these people. So, yes, that is that.
Kickstarter's done.
Done, dusted.
Expect a lot more, though, because Essen's coming up. So there'll be a flood of them from, like, November to February. So we'll have some more interesting stuff to talk about then, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Just one bit of, you might want to put an interlude bit in here, one bit of breaking news from Board Game Geek's iOS dude, David Newman. We were talking earlier on about Asmodee Digital publishing games and how we didn't really like the multiplayer aspects. It's all synchronous, no kind of turn-based. Mm. They are taking over publication on the iOS store of Twilight Struggle and Ascension Chronicle of the Godslayer, which are Playdeck apps. Now, that's interesting for two reasons. Well, one reason is the multiplayer side of things. Yeah. Apparently, there's nothing to do with them buying out Playdeck or anything. They're just doing the publication side of it. But David Newman is suggesting that maybe they've done it because the main complaint everyone has with Asmodee Digital is that it doesn't have good multiplayer, and Playdeck are one of those companies that have got very good multiplayer. For anyone who's tried Ascension or tried Lords of Waterdeep, for instance, they've got very good multiplayer, turn-based multiplayer. So the suggestion from David is that it's possibly a start in Asmodee trying to get in on the Playdeck system of asynchronous play. So fingers crossed, folks.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Right then.
That's it.
We're done.
I'm dry.
Late. So this has been episode 38 of Devon Dice Podcast. All of us on the show would like to thank you for listening. If you'd like to know more about the games and items discussed, then check out the show notes. Should be links in there for it. A big thank you to Meeple's Corner for sponsoring the show, and credit goes to Ben Sound for some of the music used.
Come along and join us in some chat on Facebook, where you can find us at Devon Dice Presents and have a chat with us there, or find us at Devon Dice UK on Twitter, where you can get all the updates, and also our Dead as Doornails Board Game Geek Guild 2414. I'm sure someone will go on there one day.
One day. Don't forget our blogging website, devondice.co.uk, and subscribe to the newsletter to get all the recent updates from that. I have been your host, Joel Wright, and you can find me on Twitter, and Board Game Geek is the press monkey, mainly now as you Devon Dice UK.
And I've been Sam Freeman, and you can find me on Twitter at Spoon of Milk and Board Game Geek as El Duderino. Join us for episode 39 out later this month, and episode 3 of the Unhinged podcast with Joel and Lewis.
At the end of the month.
At the end of the month.
We have been your host for Devon Dice, the podcast. Goodbye, and remember. Dun, dun, dun.
Did you do that last time?
Yeah.
I haven't got one for that.
No, I don't know. Yeah. What was I going to say to you? Something I was going to say. It's just gone straight out of my head. Oh, yeah, that was it. When I was doing the editing, I was trying to get the Unhinged out before the end of the month. Because the hosting changes, and so I was getting it out, and I was like, I'm running out of time. It's like 12:45, and I was like, oh, come on, quickly load it up, quickly put it on there, kind of thing. And I was like, then trying to get out, why is it not going on? Oh, that's too big, quick, save it on a lower format, kind of thing. And then crying, upload it again, and I was like, oh, I've done it, like 2 minutes to midnight, I'll get it up there. So it's only used that storage for that month, kind of thing. And then it changed to midnight. I looked at it, I was like, oh, fine, it's done, it's up there. And then I looked at it, I was like, oh yeah, it's 31 days in this month. I was like, oh, I still had a day to get it up.
Oh, well.
And I was done literally now. Rushing. It's like, quick, format it down. Get it up there. No, it's not working. Do it again. Get it up there. I was like, oh, for crying out loud. And then still had a day.
Oh.
Never mind.
At least it's done now. At least it's done.
It's done. Yeah.
I was going to ask you something last night and I forgot because we didn't get to play any games or anything. You know you're going to Essen.
This has been episode 38 of the Dice... of the Dying Dice podcast.
Nearly.
I'm reading his big freaking letters in front of me and I still... Excuse me. Oh, fuck. I really need to sort my office out.
Sounds like it.
It's just a dumping ground at the minute.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's literally like that. Like, I have to dig my way in to like be able to sit down.
What on earth is this D&D one you found? Holy balls.
Oh, damn. I was going to give you a shocker. I was going to say, yeah.
We're getting back into the Kickstarter fails.
How do you say that name? Alpicolino?
Altiplano.
Altiplano, right, okay. Do you listen to the Unhinged podcast?
Yeah, I listened to the first one. Right. It made me want to be on that one instead of this one. It's just kind of you talking about TV shows and films, and I feel like, oh yeah, I want to talk about that as well. And then you think, oh, that's never going to happen on the main one. Oh. Doing the same thing on your phone.
Oh, what's happened to your mic?
No!
Uh-oh.
Right. I'll put a little snap in so you can kind of, if you need to. Right, yeah. my for some reason my thing popped out the back of the microphone. Hooray, thanks Blue Snowball.
Nice. Test. Is that making me louder?
A little bit.